It's been called miner's thysis, grinder's asthma, potter's rot. Silicosis is a disease of the lungs that's caused by inhaling tiny particles of crystalline silica dust, basically sand. Those particles cut the lung tissue, causing inflammation and scarring that make it difficult to breathe. The disease is nothing new. The ancient Greeks were the first to give it a name, but concern about it is cropping up in new places, including the oil and gas industry. Wyoming Public Radio's energy and natural resources reporter Stephanie Joyce joins us to talk about the problem and what's being done about it. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Willow.
So why is this a problem in the oil and gas industry?
Well, Willow, as most people here in Wyoming know, oil and gas wells these days are often completed using a technique that's known as hydraulic fracturing or fracking. And that technique involves pumping huge volumes of water and sand into the wellbore at high pressures to create tiny cracks or fractures in the rock. And so that means having millions of pounds of sand on hand at well sites. And if that sand isn't properly managed, it becomes airborne and workers breathe it in, hence silicosis. And a 2012 study by the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health found that at more than half of sampled well sites, exposure levels were above mandated workplace safety standards. At some well sites, exposure levels were 10 times higher. And that's an important detail because even short-term exposures at that level can cause silicosis.
How widespread is this problem? I mean, is this at every well site, some well sites?
Well, the short answer is that no one really knows. The government thinks it's pretty widespread, though. The NIOSH study only sampled 11 sites, but they felt the results were representative enough to issue an industry-wide hazard alert, advising all companies of the danger. And right now, there are roughly 500,000 oil and gas workers in the U.S. Almost half of those work at well servicing companies, the companies that actually frack wells. So there's a lot of potential for exposure, but not a lot of data on actual exposure. Something to keep in mind, though, is that drilling is on the upswing. I recently spoke with Dan Neal of the Equality State Policy Center about the issue, which he's been following closely. Let me play you a little bit of what he had to say about it.
We're looking at somewhere between 25 to 30,000 wells being drilled in Wyoming in the next 10 to 15 years. Most of those wells, if not the wide majority of those wells, will be fracked. And we know that companies will be using sand in most instances.
And Willow, that last point that Neil makes is important because there is some work being done on using sand alternatives. When this issue has come up in the past, the Petroleum Association of Wyoming has mentioned that one way that it's looking at dealing with the issue in keeping workers safe is looking into some of those alternatives.
What else is being done to address the problem?
Well, the first thing was that hazard bulletin that I mentioned before. The government sent that out to employers across the country to let them know about the issue. NIOSH has also put out some suggestions for cheap, easy-to-implement technologies that would help keep the dust under control. And they're developing some additional, more complicated technologies. In the fall, I spoke with Eric Eswin, who is one of the leaders on the study that uncovered this problem. And he said one of the bigger challenges is getting access to some of the contractors that need help the most.
We've had smaller companies call us up and ask for our help, but of course, you know, they can't necessarily get us onto the site because our presence on the site is going to have to be essentially approved by the operator.
The operators being the big name companies that you've probably heard of. That said, Eswin also mentioned that some of those operators have approached NIOSH for help. And some of them have started investing quite a bit of money, you know, tens of millions of dollars in technology to help with the problem. So that's going on. And then at the state level, OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, is working on some of its own outreach. But while we're on the topic of challenges, another one is that there's a lot of turnover in the oil and gas industry. Workers move jobs pretty regularly, so it can be hard to make sure that they're getting the information. And it's not like it's exactly intuitive. You know, most people don't automatically think, hey, sand, I wonder if that's a health hazard. You know, so compounding that also is the fact that OSHA doesn't conduct a huge number of site inspections annually. So if an employer isn't dealing with a problem on its own, it might be going undetected.
You mentioned sand. Obviously, it's not just in the oil and gas industry that workers interact with sand. So how big is the problem in the oil and gas industry relative to other industries?
That's a really good question. You're definitely right that it's not just in the oil and gas industry where silica exposure is a problem. Construction and mining are traditionally the industries that people worry about. And between the two of those, there are many, many, many more workers than oil and gas. But it's kind of hard to compare them because concerns in the oil and gas industry are a little different. It's still a very new problem, and exposure levels are somewhat unknown. But there is actually an effort underway to reduce acceptable exposure levels across all industries. The current limits were set about 40 years ago, and the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration says they're inadequate. The proposed rules also make changes to how silica exposure is monitored, and they guarantee medical exams for workers in high-risk positions. But that proposal has received quite a bit of pushback from industry pretty much across the board. There were hearings held in Washington, D.C. in March and the beginning of April, and hundreds of groups testified. The American Petroleum Institute was one of them. In written testimony, API's senior economist raised issues about the cost, saying the proposed rules would be devastating to small operators. And a lobbyist for API raised questions about feasibility, saying the technologies currently available to control dust can't get exposure levels down to what's proposed. So OSHA will have to respond to those comments, and we'll just see where things go from there. Previous efforts to change the acceptable exposure levels have failed, and it's not clear that they'll be any more successful this time.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing more as things progress. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thanks, Willow.
That was Wyoming Public Radio energy and natural resources reporter Stephanie Joyce speaking about silicosis in the oil and gas industry.